Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, friends. Welcome to another session of Ask Dr. Rhonda. I'm your host, Dr. Rhonda Waters, CEO of Mutare Hypnosis. Ask Dr. Rhonda, where we help clients reach goals that matter to you. Our new show sponsor is Mutare Hypnosis LLC, located at 60 State Street. We also work by Skype. You can check us out on the internet at mutarehypnosis.com or like us on Facebook at Mutare Hypnosis. That's MutareHypnosis, or call 617-266-3057. Today's message is for people who think vacation was going to be a fantastic downtime, relaxing, everything's going to be fantastic until you realized you had other things to do. For people traveling, some people find traveling, going to the airport stressful. If you have friends, family members who like to run on the edge, when they say 60 minutes to board a United States flight, they want to be there at 60 minutes and 10 seconds, not a minute before. If you're like me, you want to be there an hour and a half before. But so you're stressing over making sure Aunt Louise gets to the airport in case there's any traffic or issues or things go wrong, because there's just-in-case planners and there's just-in-time planners. And when the schedules come together, it can be a real fracas. But something to remember, that try not to take it personally, but I want you to consider there may or may not be some things you can control. Also, if you don't travel here in New England, if you don't travel to the airport a lot, you may find that the roads are under construction. If you can find more than a three-mile area without somebody with cones out, you're a better person than I am. Everywhere I go, there are cones out. So anticipate road construction everywhere you go during this particular summer, as the winter, you know, pent up a lot of work that needed to be done, or they found other things that need to be done. But when you're planning your vacation, if it's meant to be a restful vacation, now there are some vacations that you're meant to be restful. And there's other vacations I've talked about in previous shows, things like when you go to Disney and Universal and those things. Those are not restful vacation. They are a forced march, because if you want to get your $100 worth out of the park, you got to be there and be there. Otherwise, you could spend $100 and just try to stroll around if you feel like it, per person, without a snack. If you feel like it, but most people, when they get into these parks, they want to see them all. But that can add to the stress, which is okay. I've talked about in other programs before about you got to have a little stress in your life. But sorting out for yourself what kind of stress to anticipate can, frankly, be part of the fun. I like to do things on vacation that I've never done before, things like zip lining and scuba diving and all kinds of other things that are fun. They are a little stressful. I do get the adrenaline going a little bit, but that's part of the, to me, that's part of the fun. But when you're thinking about your vacation and other stress associated, remember you can control that, or you can sort of turn off the fight or flight response that brings onto our body by doing the 3-3-6 breathing I've talked about before, where you inhale for 3 seconds through your nose, you hold the breath for 3 seconds, and then you exhale through pursed lips for 6 seconds. So 3-3-6. About the third or fourth breath you do of that, you'll begin to feel the relaxation response be triggered, and you can then, move in that direction. Stop letting the adrenaline from being worried about all kinds of things wind you up, and just sort of release that energy. Now, one of the areas where I find some of my peers struggling is they're doing grandma, grandpa, or uncle, or aunt, or what have you, and they haven't had a lot of dealings with, 8, 9, 10-year-olds who are about to descend upon them, lovely little people. Wonderful people, grandkids or whatnot, about to descend upon them for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month. It all sounds, all kinds of fun and recreation until you realize that it's not the same as when you visit them and you go home, which you know intellectually, but emotionally, until you actually realize that me and this kid are going to be spending the next month together, it can be a little startling for people who haven't done it in a while. Now, those of you who are, frequent summer, substitute parents, you got the rhythm of how this is supposed to go. And there's always a bumpity bump section on the front end while the kid adjusts to you. They try to drive you crazy and see how far they can push you, and you have to go back and forth a couple of times. So I want to suggest to you, first of all, that you listen to an episode that I did last year with Ashley Johnson, and she talked about children for the summer, what to do. So when, because I encourage you to listen to that program, it has some good advice and insights about what you could do to make things easier or better for you, but in to encapsulate sort of semi-briefly and not covering all the points effectively, prepare for the kid's visit, the child's visit, have things ready, don't make yourself crazy, don't do all kinds of complicated things. An area where some people get confused is they start to think they have to pour money onto their grandkids or children. This is not a good plan because they're expensive. And they're going to want, and if you haven't been to a movie lately, check out movie pricing. Not that it's a bad thing, but the two of you are going to the movies, that's $25 and you don't have a thing of popcorn yet in most places. You haven't got a soda, a drink, or nothing, so $25. And there's a lot of summer movies you're going to want to see. There could be five or six of them they're going to want to see. You have to sort out whether that's something you want to do at all, or to make clear to them, you know, you get to pick one, and that's what we're going to do. But remember, when you pick one, or they pick one, you must stick with that. And this is the way, the real secret to working with children is you have to set standards, meet the requirement, and then stick with it, because children are very smart. They will whittle away at you because they have no shame yet. They haven't developed the shame in asking. They just keep asking, and they keep asking, and they keep asking until you give in. Eventually, preponderantly, they sort out that this is not a good plan. And they realize that grandma and grandpa or auntie and uncle are not going to do what they want, and that we stick to a plan. So having a plan on the front end, I'm a big fan of books and reading. So there must be a book being read by any child who's a minor. They must have a book available to them at all times. So whether that's a book you get through Amazon or a book you get through the library, because librarians are a great source of information on what to have children read, or what's effective, or what are they going to be reading in school next year, because sometimes that information is actually available, and you can check with their parents about books they're reading. I would suggest also strongly that you join your local public library. Librarians, as I say, are a great resource, and take the child to the library where they can pick out books to read where you're not going to be inundated, but, you know, because a child can really read a book a day. And in some of the smaller books, and you don't want to necessarily saddle them with a tome to pace their way through. So, you know, that could become expensive very quickly. So I also like the library in that the child can shop through the books and figure out what they might want to read a little bit and get part of the process. And I also encourage you to read the books along with them and have the grandchild read the book out loud to you. That's a good practice for them to get into. And you get to hear the books. Some of these books are tremendous that are written for younger audiences, especially for the 8, 9, 10-year-olds and up. I mean, I've read some of them that are allegedly for those children who, as far as I was concerned, clearly were for adults. But I would say a lot of cartoon shows are not just for children. They're really for the adults, like The Simpsons and those kind of cartoons. Yeah, you can watch them as a child. Same with South Park. You can watch it as a child, but it's a whole different story to be seen as an adult. So I want you to think about the vacation season, the holiday season, where we have the 4th of July is upcoming. I know a lot of people are stressed over the barbecue and the this and that. First of all, if you're going to stress about it and it's going to be a bad thing, don't give it. Having said that, it's already planned, put together. Share the load. It's another constant thing that comes up. Can you get, you know, somebody who's coming to the thing has probably asked you, how can they help? And you've told them, you can't help me, or I don't need your help, or whatever. Find something for them to do and let them do it. Make the dessert, make a punch, bring the ice cream, make a salad. It's okay to give other people something to do. No, it will not be what you'd have done, but that's one less thing for you to do. I think it's really, it tells more about you that and your issues that you won't let anyone share a load on a big job than it does to say about that you had the perfect garden party. Most people are happy to bring something. You'll get more food than you ever wanted, and, of course, the things they bring won't cost you a dime. That lowers the budget immediately, which might be less stress for the other things you have going on. So some of the things I want you to consider for lowering your stress is stress is usually a result of us feeling we don't have any control. So sorting out areas of control. So if you have the 4, 5, 6-year-old coming for the summer, how can set a schedule and then you stay on that schedule? We get up at this time. We have breakfast at this time. We have these 4 things for breakfast. We eat together. We plan out and make a schedule. A child who's old enough to read, make the schedule, stick it on the fridge. This is what we're doing every day. This is the time we go to the park. This is when we're going here. You know, you can get stop at a local hotel, get 5 or 6 brochures of places you want to go to that will be of interest to children, and let the child pick 1 or 2 of these activities And then you can do research online or dig up some more information about what you might want to, you know, engage in. But that's part of the process. I want you to remember, you can take control of these things. It's the when especially with children, when spontaneity becomes the order of the day. Not only does that become usually a lot more expensive unless you plan for these things. Because there's a lot of activities in Boston to be done for free. But you have to find them and seek them out and then go out and enjoy them. But this is a normal part of, you know, organizing things, which some people think I'm crazy because I like to organize stuff. But that's, you know, what I like to do. And I don't have to do what I've organized. I just have to have a plan. So I want you to consider how you can lower your stress by breathing effectively during the anytime you feel like you're getting stressed, or to do it. I actually recommend to my clients that they do it as soon as they do the 3, 3, and 6 breathing every morning and every evening. And also consider taking control of areas over which you actually have control. This will make you feel less stressed about the issues that are going on around you. So you can make a plan that allows you to be flexible and do things with the people who are coming. If people are coming to you for the summer, or you're going to someplace else, the airport thing, it's just how it is. You have no control from the time you book your ticket. They change the time of the flight. They change the gate of the flight. You have no control other than you getting to the airport. I've seen a couple of flights take off early, so that's another reason to not wait 60 minutes exactly. To sort yourself out, to get yourself to the airport with enough time so you can sit down and relax comfortably and then get on the plane and do your thing. I mean, there are people who are afraid to fly. In some cases, if you're like I live in the Northeast, it's simpler in a lot of ways to take the train to New York, because if you have to get to the airport an hour before, if you're driving to the airport, you know, that's another, or taking a taxi to the airport, getting an hour early, and on the other end you have to rent a car and do whatever. That takes usually, even if it's only an hour-long flight, it takes about 4 hours or 5 hours to get anywhere. I can get on the Acela or one of the other trains here and be in New York City in the same 4 hours for roughly a third the price, or a quarter, depending on what time it is, a third the price, and I'm in downtown. When you get off the plane in the airport in most urban areas, you are not actually in town. Technically, as the crow flies, I'm probably only 5 or 6 miles from Boston Logan Airport. However, this is a car-by trip that even at 2 a.m. is never less than 15 minutes. So, I have a stoplight. You know, a city place, I have a stoplight every 3 feet. But part of your planning and organizing these things, for some people, that the sorting out the time of day you're going to go. So if you decide it seems like a good idea to, you know, work all day and then go from work to the airport on a holiday weekend, really? But that's okay. That's what you did. Just plan, expect, anticipate that you're going to be either stuck in traffic, or in the case of one of the good things about Boston is you can get on the subway. So I used to get on the Orange Line to the Blue Line, and you'd be airport, and they have little buses that run just in the airport in real short order. So but you have to be able to carry your luggage. There is no sky guys. You carrying your luggage or whatever for the weekend. But these are the kind of things you can plan ahead. So when you're going on vacation or you're traveling, even when you're traveling for work, remember, all you need to do to change the situation is to change your attitude about the situation. Recognize, and in some cases, as they say, you have no control once you get buy your ticket. You're at the whim of the airport for a lot of reasons, and that's just how it is. You have to accept that, and that's your payment, if you will. So you can go and see your family members in, you know, Georgia or California, or they kind of come here. And expect also when they arrive here, some of them may feel stressed from their day of chasing around at the airport. So it's okay. Have a little downtime, a little relaxing time. So remember, you can just breathe your way through the process. I know it sounds overly simple, but it's true. You trigger the relaxation response. I've talked about that before. If you do the 3, 3, and 6 breathing, so breathe with me now for a moment or two. So you're going to inhale through your nose. Hold it for 3 seconds, and then exhale for 6. So I'm going to breathe audibly. You don't have to, but so you can hear what I'm actually doing. So we're going to inhale, hold, exhale, inhale, hold, exhale. Inhale, hold, exhale. Just relax and enjoy your vacation. Talk to you again soon.